Morning or good afternoon, whenever you're listening. It is day 9, and this is one of my favorite entries because it goes very much existentially, metaphysically to who we really are. I begin with a very powerful story. You get a chance to read it, of these two rabbis that came trying to save Jewish children after the Shoah, after the Holocaust, from monasteries in which they were hidden during the war. Read the story, but the Torah that I shared, which has to do with this coming week's Parsha, which tells us that when we are reaping our fields, we're harvesting our fields, v'shachachta omer basadeh, and you forget some grain in the field, lo tashuv lekachto, you should not go and pick it up. You have to leave it there. It's called shechacha. And the end of the verse tells us, l'man yivarechcha Hashem Elokecha b'chol ma'aseh yadecha, in order that God should bless you. And I asked the question, why should a person receive a blessing for doing something accidentally, right? You're harvesting your field, and by accident, you drop something, or in this case, you forget something, and you don't go back and pick it up. You leave it for the poor, and you get a bracha. What, you didn't intend to give any charity there. Why should I be rewarded? And the Lubavitcher Rebbe explained that if someone performs a mitzvah, even if you weren't consciously intending to do so, it's consistent nonetheless with your internal desire to give tzedakah, that even if you're not thinking about it, what you really want to do metaphysically, existentially, deep down, a Jew always wants to do the right thing. And that's why it's a very strange halacha, but the Rambam, the great Maimonides, rules according to the position in the Talmud that one can strike another person until he finally says, "Rotze ani." Kofin oso adshe omer rotza ani, that a person, recalcitrant husband, who's not giving his wife a get, not doing the right thing, that the court can hit the person until he finally says, "Okay, I'll do it." Now we know that halacha says that in most legal systems, that if someone is coerced into doing something, his actions have no legal validity. Why is it okay to physically assault someone to the point where he finally agrees to give a divorce writ to his wife? And again, it's the same idea the Rebbe quotes, that deep down, and we can get a little cynical about this, but the Rebbe was the ultimate optimist. Deep down, he says, the man, even though on the surface is being spiteful and acting in a disgraceful manner to his wife, deep down he wants to do the right thing, because deep down, who are we really existentially? And that's why in Elulzman and leading up to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we're engaging in what's called tshuva. The word itself means, it doesn't mean repentance. That's the English kind of translation you see in most of the prayer books. But tshuva means to return, lashuv. The implication being that we were once more connected with God and we've strayed, but our default is to be connected. And for one reason or another, we've missed the mark and we've got to get back, we've got to return. But we're returning to a place that we once were. And there's a very beautiful story attributed to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, where a group of students once asked him, "What does a Rebbe do?" And the Rebbe replied, and I quote, and by the way, I'm reading from a wonderful book called Positivity Bias, written by Mendel Kalmanson. If you want to get a really wonderful, lots of Torah from in the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, it's called Positivity Bias by Mendel Kalmanson. And in it, he quotes the Rebbe's response to these students. He said, "The Jewish people are like the earth, and the earth contains nature's treasures hidden underneath. And one needs to know, however, where to dig. Dr. Freud dug in the human soul, found swampy waters and mire. Dr. Adler found rocks. Contemporary psychiatry searches for ills and traumas that must be uprooted. But when a Rebbe digs, he finds gold, silver, and diamonds." It all depends, obviously, on what you are looking for. But the belief, if you believe that deep down, metaphysically, there's something pure and genuine that's there, that's what you're going to try to access. I want to finish up with one last teaching that's actually mentioned in the Or HaChaim HaKadosh's commentary to a verse in this week's Parsha. This Parsha speaks about Shavas Aveda, about returning lost property. And the Torah is telling us that if you find someone's lost property in the street, lo titalem, you're not permitted to hide yourself. You have to gather up that lost item. You have to try to find the owner. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, this great Kabbalistic commentator on the Torah, taught that this whole Parsha is not just speaking about you know, finding someone's wallet on a subway. It's referring to our lost brothers and sisters who might have strayed from their rightful owner, from God himself. You have to return them. And he says something very beautiful. He says that every human being has two parts. They have a guf and a neshama. They have a body and a soul. Every Jew, though, has a third part. He says, it's chelek ha-Torah hu-me'ureses l'chol Yisrael. It is the part of Torah which is betrothed to each and every Jew. And if that Jew does not cultivate their chelek of Torah, their portion of Torah, then it becomes avud me'olam, becomes lost from the world. But again, the same idea is being expressed, that is in day nine. The real you is a body and a soul and a part of Torah and a part of Judaism that needs to be explored, that needs to be cultivated. That's who we really are. What people do on the surface, the things we say, the things we do, I'm not saying they're not important. That's what we discussed in the last few days, Acharei HaPeulot Nimshechu Levavot, right? Our actions have tremendous impact on us, on who we are internally. But let's remember who we really are deep down. That's why we're doing tshuva. We're trying to go back to our essence, and our essence is ultimately good. Have a great day.